God, I thank you again. I thank you again for your victory, Lord. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for this gospel that you have yourself has summoned us, Lord, to be a part of your family. You've called us to yourself. You've given us your very life and nature. On the inside, Lord, you've made us unstoppable because yes. Greater is he that's in me than yes. the one who's in the world. Amen. Today, Lord, in this moment, in 2026, I invite you, Father, to help us see where we're at, God, and what the next season entails. What we need to do, Father, in this moment of change. And Lord, we acknowledge before you that change is not comfortable. It's not easy. And often we, just like your servants in Israel, they longed for the slavery of Egypt just because of the comfort. But Lord, we are not those who look back in that way. We look forward, God, with faith. Because the way our lives turn out, Father, isn't just about our lives. It's about the destiny of many in our city, many in the Highlands, many in other regions of the world. And would you help us, Father, to see that the aim of my faith this morning is not my blessing, but it's for the benefit of those around us, and especially for the glory of your great name. Father us, would you, Lord? Don't yes. let us miss your best.
Yes.
Help us, Father. Show us. Reveal things. Change things. Bring to us the wisdom that you represent. The truth, Lord. The grace. And especially the love, Father, which overlooks multitudes of sins.
That's right.
We make room for you here because you are here. And today, Lord, for a few moments, let these words be something useful to your heart, Lord, to help my brothers and sisters to make some changes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You all know the story of Joseph, the dreamer, the man with a vision and a purpose. You all know him. I'm not going to read much on this. But at a point in Joseph's life, there was a point of significant elevation where the things that he'd nurtured and prayed about and believed for, in spite of everything that had gone before being contrary, and it seemed like all those dreams were going backwards. He was in prison, in slavery, for many, many, many years. And yet, when God gives a promise, his intention is for it to happen. It's his will. It's his initiative. It's not mine. When God gave me a dream or a prophecy, when he gave you a promise, he gave it because it represents the outworking of his will on the earth. Mm-hmm. We don't ever have to persuade God to fulfill his promises.
Right.
If you did, he would be a... What kind of character do you have to remind to keep his promises?
Yeah.
God, preserve us from praying in that way, trying to twist God's arm around his back,
wow.
to persuade the faithful one to be faithful. It's because we look at life through filters.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
We view life through filters, some of them good, some of them bad, some of them straightforward, destructive, and they color everything that you see in your life. Let me tell you this, what you're seeing isn't necessarily reality. Have you noticed? And God wants us in our lives to be people who see as he sees.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That is wisdom, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bothered about what the scientists tell me is true. It's physical fact. I'm more interested in truth because the thing yes. about this is facts are here in this room. Truth changes facts.
Amen.
Facts are temporary. Truth is a person.
Yeah. Amen.
The reality. The amen. Amen. The Alpha amen. And the Omega.
Hallelujah.
And change happens in our lives when we decide to believe him. It's not even particular ideas. We're believing Jesus. Our faith is in this one, Jesus. He is our faith. He is our life. He is our health. He's proved himself. You can read all the covenant names of God in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of every one of those promises.
Amen.
He brought them in and said, they're yours. Amen. This is who I am in your life. Yes. Yay!
Yay.
I'm happy about that. Because Jesus Christ is faithful.
Yes.
And when you lean your weight on him, those who trust in him will not be put to shame.
Amen.
And will not be disappointed. That's a good translation as well. So here's a verse, Genesis 41:14, main verse for today. But I've got one other little parable. I sense these verses are for different people here. And this was Joseph's moment of elevation. You know the story. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he came to Pharaoh. Is anyone following along?
Amen.
Did I leave anything out? Let me read it again, what it actually is. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his clothes.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then he came to Pharaoh. And for me, this is hugely prophetic. Hugely. Because his previous history, he'd been locked up in a smelly prison, not like the current prisons in our country. He'd lived in a sense of lack. You know what prisons are like? They're restrictive, aren't they? Prisons are a place of lack, shut down. It's probably dark. There's no liberty there. And Joseph had lived a lot of time in a prison. In the natural, he was unkempt. His clothes were dirty. He was smelly. Joseph, at this point, had come through one heck of an ordeal. But he was still standing. And he recognized, actually, just to mention, Joseph, in all of his prisons, he didn't let those prisons quite get into him. Have you noticed?
Yes.
He kept his promise alive, and he did what he knew to do with the Lord.
Amen.
He had a gift of administration, and he just used it, even in prison. He just did what he got it placed on his heart. He interpreted dreams, didn't he? And God is saying, for some of you, you've been faithful in the prisons of your past experiences. You've shared my grace. You've given yourself to the gifting of God. And it's been a sense of isolation. Nothing really opened up for you. Does that ring bells with anybody?
Yeah.
And you've done everything in obscurity. Let's read this again. So when Joseph's moment came, he recognized the change of season. And he recognized that he wasn't able to function in this new season based on all of that stuff from the last years. And I'm talking about filters. Because in prison, it's a place of lack, isn't it? It's like a winter in your soul. And in winter, there are certain expectations. If I plant seeds, it's not going to grow, is it? Right? If I look for light and sunshine and warmth and t-shirts, that's not winter, is it? Winter brings in a particular set of filters. You begin to view life that way. And everything in your life is seen through that filter. So what's the point of planting seeds? They ain't going to grow. And in lots of places in our lives, we can be persuaded, what's the point? I've done this before. This season, nothing's growing. And God wants us to realize in our lives that when we step into a new season, we can't bring that filter. Otherwise, we still expect nothing to work. We still bring into this place this sense of restricted. But, you know, prison is about smallness of vision. And your enemy wants to put you in a little box.
Right.
And get your vision down to your own life size.
Yes.
And your vision becomes survival.
Mm.
I know, because I've been there.
Yeah,
it's not a place of happiness. Mm. It's not a place of joy.
Correct.
It's a sad place, because we aren't designed to live like that. We're eagles.
Amen.
And you know what happens to an eagle if you lock it up and won't let it fly? It stops looking after itself. It becomes dirty, unkempt. It just dies on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's the enemy's desire, is for that vision or promise. He wants it to die, because that vision is a real threat to him. And if you have the courage to keep on going, in spite of whatever prisons you've ended up in, some of us end up in prisons because we are stupid, but often we end up in prisons for no fault of our own.
Yes.
Amen.
And those prisons color our lives. They color our faith and expectation. They shrink our vision down like that. And Joseph is saying, this needs to come off. I'm not just going to be running a little thing in a prison. I was given a vision, a worldwide vision.
Amen.
Come off. Come off. And I don't know what the filters are upon your mind and heart today. This is not a long teaching. I'm just saying the filters are there.
Yes.
If you've come from prison, and you need to see what those are and decide in your heart that they're coming down.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because actually, when you're out of the prison,
yes,
the conditions of that prison no longer apply. And yet, those conditions of the prison are built into our minds. That's how you can train an elephant that weighs tons.
Yeah.
You train it when it's young with a rope, but it pulls against when it's small and it hurts. And the elephant gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that little feeble rope holds it even when it weighs tons. And that's a filter, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's a lie. Your enemy's built stuff locked down in your life.
Mm.
And you've persuaded yourself because you pushed against it in the past.
Mm. Mm.
That's the wrong filter.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not the same person. The yoke is broken because of the anointing. Actually, the literal translation is, the yoke is broken because of fatness. When you get fat on the word, when the word builds you up,
yes,
you grow in weight and stature.
Amen.
And glory. Mm. And the things that your enemy is persuading are limitations for you. He's lying.
That's right.
Push on that rope. Dunk, it'll break. Mm. The problem is, when that filter upon your mind, you won't even push. You won't even try. Hmm? Mm. That's the truth, isn't it? So filters of life. And let me say this, they're hard to break in a natural sense.
Yes.
Think of the Israelites, the whole nation. All they knew was slavery, right? When they came out of Egypt. How many of those guys could get the filter of slavery out of their hearts and move into the promised land? Mm-hmm. How many?
All of them, apart from Caleb and Joshua.
There were only two that of the original guys. Only two of them managed that. The difference is they weren't spirit-filled.
Mm.
And we have a helper in our hearts when we say to him in the place of prayer, Father me, help me see what I'm seeing that isn't so. Help those restrictions fall off. Show me the truth. Mm-hmm. Show me the truth. Let me see it. So he had a shave and he changed his clothes. Good advice for everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
In a physical sense also, he changed his clothes. Do you think that's talking about? It's along the same sort of lines, isn't it? What do our clothes represent in today's culture?
They make the man.
Yeah, it's identity, isn't it?
Yeah, identity.
Identity. You could be a goth, or you, I don't know if there's still goths today, what do you call them?
That's sort of
there are.
Yeah.
What do you call them these days? Emos or something?
Emos,
yeah. There's dozens of different tribes, if you like, based on what you wear. And this passage is saying Joseph changed his clothes. It's really saying the same thing, isn't it? Because prison builds into us a prisoner's identity.
Yes.
And the pattern of life with God is the renewing of the mind, right? Because although you may have lived as a prisoner, you may have physically experienced long seasons of darkness, in none of those times were you a prisoner. We sung this morning, who are we? What was the first song? I'm no longer
slave.
I am a
child of God.
Guess what? That's fixed. Yeah. That never changes. Did you hear me?
Amen.
And the problem is that we allow prisons and our failures and our weaknesses and the stuff around us, we allow it to build an identity in our lives of failure.
That's right.
And if you believe you're a failure, what happens? You fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe you're a sinner, as half of the body of Christ still do, even though we died to sin. If you believe you're a sinner, what happens?
You sin.
If you believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, what happens?
No, you're righteous.
If you believe by his stripes you were healed,
you're healed. Amen. Amen.
This is the change of clothes, isn't it?
Yes, hallelujah.
And in our lives, we dare to believe what Jesus Christ says.
Yes.
Regardless of what we feel like or what we look like. It's a process. You know, if you're like, it's like stripping off something and putting something new on. And I think what most Christians do is they try to strip off sin. Mm. Yeah? I'm not doing that. And what happens at the end of that if you're successful? Right? Right? You're not supposed to run around naked. Strip off stuff and put something new on in its place straight away, please.
Yes.
This is the process of mind renewal. Putting off an identity of sickness or fear, yes, and replacing it with... And it's an identity based on who you already are. Mm-hmm. You're putting on this identity because that's who you've become.
That's right.
As you're born again, right? It's not wishful thinking. It's not mind over matter. It's none of the airy-fairy stuff of our current culture. It is bedrock truth.
Yes.
The study that changed my life the most 25 years ago was a study on the past tenses of the book of Ephesians. I extended it further. If you read the first few chapters of Ephesians, it tells you dozens of things in the past tense.
Yes.
Can you believe God when he says, I have done this in your life? Nobody can. That's a pity.
Yes, I believe.
Of course you do. Because there's nothing, you don't have to do anything. Not one thing. It's done.
Amen.
The things that require conditional promises are harder because if I have to do something. But I'm talking about unconditional facts of what happened because Jesus Christ died for you and because you got born again. Start with those.
Yes.
Camp on them. They're facts. They're true. It's a description, as the Bible says, looking in a mirror. But we can easily forget who we are. The life of faith is a life built around the Word of God.
Oh, Lord.
It is. And that's not a works-based life. It's a joy because this is my mirror. This is how I can see what I actually look like. And I'm glad it's not quite the same as a physical mirror. You know what I mean? So these are the things. And this led to a place of Joseph being able to function as God intended in a new season.
Yeah.
And God wants you to function in a new way. Today. Did you hear me? Today.
Amen.
Today. And so let's look upon this process very seriously and understand that it's good news that God is going to do something fresh in my life that I've been dreaming about. This is the moment. I believe that. You can believe it or not, as you wish. And I've got one last, it's quite quick. I want to look at one other point here. I think this is for some people in this room. The filter in our lives that holds us back. At times, it can be family. And let me bring this very briefly to you. This is from Acts 7. Stephen's wonderful speech. I'm trying to find the bit. Yeah, here it is, about Abraham, Acts 7:1. And this was his defense before the Sanhedrin. Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. So God gave to Abraham, the man of promise, he said, leave your current situation and leave your relatives, leave your family, and come to a land that I will show you. So he didn't have any idea where he was going. This is how Christianity starts. You get on board with the Lord. He says, will you come? And you go. And where you're going? Not really too sure. It becomes clearer on the journey. But you begin this journey, and at lots of points in this life, you're not really 100% clear about what the next bit looks like, but you walk towards it nevertheless. And he came out of the land, sounds like he obeyed. He came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father died, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell.
Amen.
But hang on, what did God say to him?
Leave your family.
Leave your family, but he didn't, did he?
No.
Because in our lives, I say this with absolute respect and reverence, I'm not talking about a husband and wife, not that sort of separation. I'm not talking, that's not the will of God, that's not God's plan, not God's best. But what I'm saying is that sometimes in our lives, our family represent a filter or filters that don't represent the will of God for me today.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it okay to say that?
Absolutely.
And while I honor my father and my mother, who's with the Lord now, while I honor them, it doesn't mean I have to obey them when I'm 29 or whatever. Right? Right?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And it's very important that I hear what God is saying about that.
Interesting.
And Abram went on this mission. He was a good man, a man of faith. But he didn't quite follow what God was saying to him, did he?
No.
Interesting.
And the result was, he ended up in this place called Haran.
Yeah.
And Haran means rocky or mountainous. He ended up in a place that wasn't a Garden of Eden or a land of promise. It was a hard ground. It was a great big mountain that was blocking the way to where he knew he was to go. And he got stuck there. This is what the wrong filters will do in your life and mine. We get stuck, and all we can see is this blooming mountain. Do you think God sees it that way?
Mm.
Of course he doesn't. Let me quickly read the actual verse here from Genesis. And here we find, obviously, God speaks to Abram. He was called Abram, Abraham. This was pre-covenant. And Terah took his son, his grandson Lot, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abraham's wife, there was a bunch of them, went out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Haran, of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not where God wanted them to stay, but this is where they ended up. And the reality is, in our lives, there are moments when we have to decide to very deliberately leave some things behind that represent family thinking or traditions. I believe God is saying this to you today, okay? Mm. And he's saying it to me. So there are moments in life, not always, this won't apply to everybody here, where you need to very deliberately decide, are you going to follow the Lord and move on from your father and mother and move on from Haran? Because I love how this ends here. Obviously, when his father died, it was time to move on, but God doesn't want us to wait till things die and wait ages and ages. He wants us to keep moving with him. Look at the way this is step, because I understand in life we can get stuck. You ever been stuck?
Yes.
Some of you are stuck today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And for the life of you, you can't seem to move forward. I get that. But look how beautiful this is. So he came out of the land of the Chaldeans, dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, so when he was able more easily to let go of some things, God moved him to this land. Did you hear that?
Mm.
God moved him to his destination place. This encourages me so much.
Yes, yes.
Because that mountain that is in front of you, it's a fact. If you're in Haran today, there's a mountain. But God moved him. Well, we're not told. Maybe he walked round the mountain. Maybe God punched a hole through it. That's his business, right? But the fact is here, when we submit to the leading of God, and when we keep our faith alive in our weaknesses, our acknowledgement is him, we continue to follow him. We continue to believe for the things he's promised. And on that journey, God moved. The victory is the Lord's. It's his work that will bring you through to completion. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Doesn't really matter what's gone on before. That's the filter of life you need to pick up. God is the finisher of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
The one who began a work in your life.
Yes, yes.
He's carrying it on to completion. And sometimes we need a word from God,
yes,
don't we?
Yes.
My word, says God, is like a fire.
Mm.
And like a hammer that shatters the rock of stubborn resistance.
Yeah.
God's hammer will shatter the mountains of Haran.
Amen.
No question.
Amen.
No question. We've got to be in the place where we're able to believe that.
Yes.
And the wrong kind of filters are simply unbelief. Church is riddled with them. Doctrines, ideas, thoughts, traditions, riddled with them. And it's when those filters come out that the reality of faith is simply expressed. We discover we're children of God. We discover we have faith.
Mm-hmm.
We discover God isn't the limiter of my life. God never limits. God lifts.
Amen.
He's the elevator. And he's the one I trust to get me to where I need to go. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
God, thank you today. Thank you today that you've proved yourself through thousands of years as the one who's faithful. Today, we just invite you by the Spirit of God to reveal filters, Father, which are filters and ideas. And just reveal to us, Lord, would you, the stuff in our minds and hearts, the things we don't even question, that need questioned, and then in the name of Jesus, pulled down and replaced with truth.
Yeah.
God, we submit ourselves to this journey, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, you've called us out of prison and you've lifted us into liberty. That's your work, God. It's done as the children of God.
Amen.
I want to thank you, Father, that you're committed to doing a work in Inverness and across the Highlands and the Islands, works in Africa, Asia, Australia. You're committed to a worldwide mission in which our promises and purposes, Lord, are just a part of your wonderful jigsaw. So we commit ourselves afresh to finding, following, and finishing the course that's laid out for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray in this moment that if the vision you've laid on our hearts is hidden, as by sand and dirt, Lord, that by the Spirit and the wind of God, you'd blow away the things that have covered our hearts and let us see afresh and, yes, I remember. And let the revelation of Jesus be preeminent. You guys, we're going to sing the final song.